Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. It is 7:37 p.m. Eastern Time, a little bit early for our usual start time. It's Thursday, March 18th, 2021. My name is Alex Kirk. I'm the chair of the board, and I'd like to ask our recording secretary, Marianne, to please call the roll.
I will indeed. Chris Corey?
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs? Could have sworn I saw her. Vanessa?
I'm here. Here.
Good. Linda Foley?
Here.
Good. Jose Gutierrez? Have we any news of Jose?
I've tried reaching him, and I've checked in with Ursula. Nope, and he's not responding. I believe he'll be at the hospital.
Chair, Jose is still addressing his medical issues. He said that he would try to make it, but I don't think he's going to make it tonight.
Did you speak to him in the last few days?
Yeah, I spoke to him. Today's Thursday, Tuesday, I spoke to him.
Okay.
Well, he said he misses everybody, though.
Okay. We all wish him the best.
Continue. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Good. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Good. Wally James. Wally James. Going once. I do not hear. Dwayne Lark. Dwayne? I hear nothing. Ali Laxa?
Present.
Good. Thomas O'Rourke, a new name to me.
Yes, present.
Good. Jim Osborne?
Present.
Good. Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Hey, you want to make a donation? We'll send you a box, you know, blah, blah, blah. Include the
postage. Ralph, you need to mute, Ralph.
I'm unmuted.
Okay, Ralph Pointer?
Here.
Good. Sandra Rawline? Sandra Rawline? Okay, I hear nothing. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Good. Sean Rhodes?
I am here.
Good. James Sagerton. James Sagerton. Okay. Andrea Turner.
Present.
Good. Hunton.
Present.
Good. Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Alex Steinberg.
I'm here.
I'd like to go back over Wally James. One more time. Wally James. Okay. Dwayne Lark.
He's about to get on now. He thought it was at 8:30 Eastern time.
Okay. Sandra Rawline. Sandra Rawline. Okay. James Sagerton. James Sagerton. Okay. Lydia Brazan. Okay. Anita Sims. Paulina.
Right here.
I think so. Schwartz. Is Arthur on at this point? No. John Tatum.
I'm here.
Yes, and I am here. Okay, so...
Mariana?
Yeah?
Sandra just sent me a text. She didn't realize the meeting was starting an hour early. I wonder if other people also didn't know. But she'll be joining the meeting in a few minutes.
Great, thank you. I suspect that is the case. Well, okay, there's the roll call, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, we have a quorum, and the next order of business is the seating of a new director representing listeners from WPFW, Mr. Thomas O'Rourke. We have a custom, Mr. O'Rourke, of new directors sort of introducing themselves and saying a few words about themselves. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, sure. I'm good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be first-time board member. I've been involved with my station in Washington for a number of years now, WPFW, both a listener member of the local station board for my second term, and some of the committees of programming and outreach committees in the past. I'm a retired high school history teacher, and am learning radio, the industry. I used to work in before teaching in PR and some media production. So I'm glad to be back and learning what I can and hope to contribute by be a stalwart on these marathon meetings. I understand they happen frequently and go long periods, but let's hope we can resolve the controversies and move on to a better future this coming year. Thank you. I'm glad to be aboard.
Thank you, and we're glad to have you. Okay. Next item is excused absences. I guess we have one from Jose Gutierrez. Is there anybody else? Okay. Can I get a motion to excuse Jose?
So Taylor, I move to excuse.
Okay. And who was the second?
Tom seconds.
Yeah, please announce your name before you make a statement. That's for the benefit of the recording secretary. It makes it much easier for her. Okay.
Sandra says hello.
Good evening. Very glad to have you aboard. Okay, so are there any objections to excusing Jose Gutierrez?
Okay. Ralph here, seconded.
Okay, Ralph, we got you.
Dwayne Lark is on the call.
Welcome, Mr. Lark. Okay.
This is Sandra. I'm on the call.
Yeah, I got you already, okay. Sandra.
Thank you.
James as well.
Ah.
Good evening. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Sounds like everybody's here now.
We are still missing Wally James.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he'll come on in a little while. Anyway, Mr. Gutierrez is excused since there were no objections. Who would, next item is timekeepers. Who wants to do the, topic part of timekeeping?
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Lawrence, would you like to volunteer?
I'll volunteer if no one else wants to do it.
Okay. I don't hear anyone else, so. who would like to volunteer for the people part of the timekeeping?
I'll do it, Alex. Oh, James, you said you would? Okay.
No, that's okay. You can do it.
No, that's all right.
Okay. So we got Heather. Well, thank you for both of you.
So, Alex, forgive me. This is Heather. Just how long now? Is it 5 minutes
per speaker? Well, I'm going to read the draft agenda in a minute, and I'll read you the times when
okay,
I do
that. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so here's the draft agenda.
Sorry to interrupt, Polina. Can you make me co-host so I can rename the phone numbers? That'll be
helpful. Sure. Yeah. Give me a second here. Let's see. Are there one of you or two of you on this?
There's one with me. The other one is called Streaming. One is called Paulina Vasilia. That's me.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I just made you co-host.
Thank you.
Where was I?
Being the agenda.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, first item is draft agenda approval is 5 minutes. Approval of minutes of the open session of March 4th. I'm not sure we have those, though. But anyway, if we have those, that's a 3-minute item. Then there's a motion to go into a quasi-committee of the whole to discuss the New Day Pacifica rewrite of Pacifica's bylaws. That's a 30-minute item. That's followed by a report from our IED, Lydia Brazon. That's a 10-minute item, followed by a report from our ICFO, Anita Sims. That's another 10-minute item. And that's followed by committee reports. That'll be a total of 30 minutes for the committee reports. Then there's 5 minutes for unfinished business. And and there's new business, under new business, I see a motion down there. Well, we don't really have a time set for new business, but okay. alright, that's the draft agenda. If motions coming out of committees, I have not received them, nor has the secretary. Just give me a heads up.
Yeah, request for information, Chair? Lawrence?
Yes, Lawrence.
Did you receive the motion, the emergency motion that I requested, be actionable tonight? Is that on the new business?
There's a motion about Mumita Bujmal. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, Chair. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. It's on the agenda, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Ron.
According to the agenda, we're going to need Lydia and Arthur. And if they're thinking that this meeting is at 8:30, we might want to get in touch with them.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to need Arthur for the open session. We might, but, you know, Lydia's
If we're talking about the New Day stuff,
we're not going to talk legalities of the New Day. We're just going to talk about, you know, what we think of these proposed amendments.
Chair, would you like me to call Lydia?
Lydia should definitely be on the call. Arthur doesn't need to be on until the close.
Okay. Well, I have some questions about process. Should I address those in the closed session?
Can you give me a hint as to what that's about? Because I don't know.
I want to find out about the family plan issue. I want to find out about the debate issue.
Those could be discussed in open session. There's nothing.
No, I'm not saying. But I would like for Arthur to be a part of that discussion because okay. So that's all.
Okay, I didn't know this was going to come up in open session. We could invite Arthur to join us for a little bit, for that part of the open session. If that's, you know, if you're going to ask questions. But, yeah.
Yeah, it would be appreciated.
Okay, well, anyway, still have...
Chair, I got a response from Lydia. She thought the meeting was also at 8:30 Eastern time. She's going to be about 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, that's okay. So we won't get to her report for a little while anyway. All right, anyway, we need a motion to accept the draft agenda. Can I have a motion?
James, so moved.
Lauren, seconds.
Second. Okay, does anybody have any amendments they wish to offer to the agenda or any objections to the agenda as it now stands? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. And the first item is, what is the first item? Oh, Marianne, do we have minutes from the last meeting?
Not from the open meeting, and I am begging all of you, when you present a motion, please send me something in writing, because I can't type the motion word for word as you are talking and arguing about it. And I am missing two motions that passed on the March 4th meeting, and I can't finish the minutes until I have them.
Yeah, I saw your query about that, Marianne, and I could not answer them either without going back and listening to the recording, which I haven't had a chance to do yet. So we'll have to do that. It does make it a lot easier if people identify themselves and submit all motions in writing. Otherwise, we run into problems like this. Okay. Are there any other minutes that we're behind on or anything?
No, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Okay. Chris, for you to the stack?
Chris?
Yes. I'm wondering, does Marianne have access to the recordings, the audio recordings? I
imagine
that she does.
I probably do. I am a tech.
She could easily, yeah, she could have them, but I think Marianne basically tries to get everything down the first time. And she usually does a magnificent job, but sometimes things are missing.
Okay. I was just suggesting that as an alternative to the current quandary we find ourselves in. Thank you.
No, it's a good point.
Alex, this is Paulina.
Yes, Wally's on the call.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Who is that?
I think that
Wally.
Wally, okay. So I think I renamed somebody wrong. Okay.
Okay, so I'm presenting a motion to go into a quasi-committee of the whole to discuss the New Day Pacifica rewrite of Pacifica's bylaws. And that's something we can do, and it lets us, it gives us a chance to discuss that in a more informal manner than usual, basically.
Jay, is that a 30-minute item?
It's a 30-minute item. It doesn't have to be. If people feel that's too long a period, we can shorten it.
Alex, this is Heather to the stack as well.
Well,
I just want to ask, people can talk for 5 minutes, is it? How many minutes?
Let's make it 2 minutes instead of the usual 90 seconds.
Okay, thank you.
And if people feel like that's not enough, we can adjust that, but maybe that's enough.
Should I start the clock, Chair?
Well, I didn't get a second, and we didn't vote on this yet.
Okay. I second the motion, Chair.
Okay.
Go into a quasi-committee of the whole.
Okay. Does anybody object? Okay. Let's start the clock, and I'll just take a stack. Feel free to comment on any or all part of the proposed rewrite of the Pacifica bylaws that's being offered by the group called New Day Pacifica. Who wants to be on the stack? In the meantime, I'm going to see if I can get Arthur on the call to answer some questions. Stack? Nobody wants to be on the stack?
Chair.
Yeah.
I think people are concerned that, you know, these, you know, people's positions, you know, in a forum like this, you know, can be misconstrued and misinterpreted and misused. So I think people are exercising some caution because of the type of environment that we're dealing with.
I understand, Ron. You know, we have, you know, we have people filing lawsuits against directors for alleging things that the directors had nothing to do with. But you know, this is the environment. Yeah. I don't think that should prevent us from speaking out on what we think. But I fully understand if people wish to be cautious. All right. I mean, if there's no one on the stack,
we can. Chair, this is Lawrence. I'll go ahead and break the ice to see if anyone else wants to jump in the ice cold water, which I believe this referendum is. Somebody needs to mute. This is a referendum that I am completely against. Because it's a significant sea change to what our current democratic processes are, in regards to, diversity, in regards to, listeners, being stakeholders and having a voice, with our current bylaws. Not that they are any perfect and don't need amending. I just think this is an overreach. In regards to the significant impact that it will have on the network as a whole, and I think it's a very deceptive it's a very deceptive proposal, and that's just my position. It's a very deceptive proposal that looks at shrinking representation for the network. Alice, you need to mute yourself as well. I'll wait till Alice returns, if that's okay with everyone. Please hold my time, James or Heather.
Family. That's the thing they want to sign up all the family members.
Alice, you're not muted. You're not muted, Alex. We could overhear your conversation.
Yeah, I sent it out. Okay, yeah, I'm just speaking to Arthur. See, okay.
Okay.
Maybe you can get on a little later then, and we'll come back to you.
Okay, Alice, I'm almost ready to close, but I'm waiting for you to mute yourself or stop talking.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence. Sorry.
So I'm one of the no people. I'm one of the, participants and opponents to the shrinking of our democratic processes in regards to the bylaws and the representation that it would narrow, and that it would give a dominant station perhaps the upper edge, and it would also diminish the representation and the democratic process of those stations that are not big or too big to fail, so to speak. And I could think of the impact that it will have on WBAI, the impact it will have on WPFW, and the impact it will ultimately have on KPFT. So I think what happens here is that these sets of bylaws were written to the point where any of the changes that they were proposing were not highlighted or were not redlined out, as usually bylaws proposals are done, to be able to distinguish or highlight what the changes are. So I urge that the board members refuse to vote yes, and that listeners that are listening, vote no. And if you sign, unsign, because that's the only way we're going to protect democracy in Pacifica for free speech radio. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. Anybody else?
This is James.
James, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take a whack at this from the financial point of view. It seems like in their material that they've been publishing, the NDP proposers are saying that somehow governance is the problem in Pacifica, and that's what causes all of our issues, and even specifically the financial issues, which we admittedly have. I just want to say that nowhere other than making those claims do they ever say anything specific about how that occurs, or, you know, to prove that that's the cause. And second of all, they give no indication of how stripping democracy out of Pacifica and taking the control of Pacifica out of the hands of the workers and the members, and taking it from the hands of the many and putting it into the hands of the few, is in any way going to fix any of those problems. It's just kind of magical thinking. Suddenly, if this new selected, group of people that are replacing the elected board en masse by fiat, by actually claiming that a referendum on the bylaws is somehow an election for boards of directors, the board of directors, there's no sense to how that's going to fix any problems. There's no magical solution unless there's some money waiting in the wings that we're not aware of. And if there is, I wonder why it doesn't come forward now rather than wait until after democracy has been stripped out of our organization. I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is a unique organization, and I often say, and I have no proof to the contrary, I think it's unique in the world. We are a media network, a radio network that is controlled by workers and members and democratically operated. I don't think that exists anywhere else in the world. And it's too valuable an experiment and too wonderful a thing for us to just hand over on the basis of very flimsy arguments into the hands of a very few people. Thank you.
Okay, next, who wants to be on the stack?
Alex, I'm here if anybody wants to ask the question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Ron had some questions he wanted to ask you. Ron, are you ready with your questions?
Yes. Welcome, Martha. Thanks for coming in. I have some concerns about a process in terms of the debates and such. I'll be real quick and I'll be specific. First of all, the family plan, that one of the stations was trying to, add family members, to their roles. You were in negotiations or discussions with the New Day folks about about our challenge to that. Has there been any conversation or any more discussion about that?
Yes. So there was discussion in the beginning. If it became relevant to the 5% number,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't have to get resolved. So, it's only going to be relevant in terms of, who votes. And, it's going to have to get resolved. We have agreed to not have to go to court to do. We picked an arbitrator, a guy named Ken Cloak, C-L-O-K-E, who seems like a really, really, really good guy. Done a lot of mediation over a long time from nonprofits. And our position, Pacifica's position, is that if someone is identified by the station as a two-person or a household membership, then that's a household membership. But that what seems to have been done here is they went to people who contributed $50 or more and said, oh, do you have a spouse or a significant other or a domestic partner? And if they said yes, then they said, oh, well, then you're two members. Now when we created the list, that when Renee, the national election supervisor, created the list, she went by what stations gave her, and she got very few people called household members. If two people paid a contribution, then they got listed by the station as two people. So they want to say that these people they've identified as household members are household members. Our position is that unless they identified as such, there isn't such a thing. And plus, for them to have gone around and solicited that information without that being a Pacifica-wide effort would unfairly prejudice people that didn't support their bylaws. I mean, I think the way they got their list is when people signed the petition, they asked, oh, do you have a household member? And then they came up with a list of about 400 or 500 people that they said should be on the list because they were household members. But that's going to have to get arbitrated. I mean, we're not, you know, we haven't agreed to it. The final list is, I think the final date, forgive me if I'm off by a day, I think it's April 27th. The list date, the record date, I think that's
okay. All right. Chair, forgive me. Can I follow up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because, you know, PFW, we had a great drive. We had a great drive, right? And we had a lot of, you know, new members, a lot of renewing members. If this policy about family, if it's allowed for the New Day people to claim or to pursue family memberships, then we want that opportunity to do the same.
Right.
And it has to be network wide, not right. Just, you know, an individual station.
Right.
So hopefully that's the position that you know, that we'll come with. But if not, then we're going to have to be prepared to pursue that. Now the other thing, debate protocols. Okay. I know that the supervisors come up with debate protocols, but there seems to be some issue about who's participating in these debates, who's organizing these debates, who has the right to organize these debates and such. We would like to do a debate, you know, at W, you know, with our own people. But my question is, you know, do we have to adhere to a strict guideline from as to who represents the New Day people, for example, or who represents the WPFW's position, or, you know, you get me what I'm saying? I just want to know
if we have
flexibility there.
I would say it's that my opinion is you can have a pro and a con. Who, if someone in a station knows a pro and a con and wants to put them together, fine. If you want to ask Beth Keene to designate somebody, I mean, I got asked that from your station, someone from your station, Arthur or somebody.
That was. Mm-hmm.
And I said, he said, can you suggest people? I said, I can't. I said, why don't you call, here's Beth Keene's information. Here's Alex and Grace and, I said Tracy. Gotcha. Rosenberg.
So we have flexibility. As long as the New Day position is represented, does it have to be somebody that they
no
bring forth or no, somebody?
That's not the rule. Just not the rule.
Okay. All right. And in terms of producing these debates, the when, what, and where, the election protocols have some very interesting things in it about town halls, for example. Because LSB would like to organize a town hall, around this issue. And my interpretation is that as long as we adhere to the guidelines that our local LSB can, proceed to make that happen, as long as there's equal representation.
I don't think Renee is interested in micromanaging.
Well, I'm not worried about Renee. I'm worried about the other folks because they'll be listening. And quite frankly, I'm just telling you guys, because I know we got New Day people on this board. All right. They're going to look for every transgression, because that's what happened before. All right. So we just want to be clear, we don't want to hear this nonsense about, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, these smokescreen attempts to disenfranchise. We don't want to hear that. So we just want to make sure that we're adhering to the protocol so that we can't be challenged on these things, because we want to proceed with these things, because we want our listeners to know, about these issues.
I would say that you guys should be as creative as possible. We are a creative organization. There's no rules about how to do it and just be fair. That's all. And I would say there's more problems for the pro New Day position because there have been a lot of, I've listened to some broadcasts, where there's out and out campaigning going on, which I told their attorney had to stop as of March 8th. And I said, if you don't, then you're going to get complaints from your side. One call I listened to had the attorney for PNB member Turner, who's suing to put Pacifica in trusteeship and have, Grace and Alex fine millions of dollars. And he was on saying that New Day's position was not extreme enough, and he was debating that with the host, who was saying, yeah, New Day is great, but but there wasn't anybody saying anything positive about what's going on in the station, and that kind of thing would be inappropriate.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And one last question, the status of the carts. Because now you may be able to answer this question or you may not, but there were supposed to be cards made, national cards made about, this referendum and such and such.
They're being made, but
they're currently not available because I saw the controversy where there were some content issues. So have those content issues been addressed as far as you know?
The content. Just on the 1 minute announcement.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that, the election supervisor has dug in her heels and said, this is what I think is right. And the arbitrator has said he doesn't think he has authority to tell her she's wrong. And I've gotten emails up the wazoo. Asking for me to try to get her to change her mind, and she's not moving on it, and I think it's going to stay that way. I mean, it's sort of, I have told them that it's my opinion, not to put anybody down on either side, because I've gotten complaints from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One says it isn't doesn't say enough this way. One says it doesn't say enough that way. And to me, it's sort of a mountain out of a molehill kind of situation, because the 1 minute includes the station ID. So that means that it's about 45 seconds. And according to Renee, that's 130 characters. She's actually timed how long each character takes when you say it on the radio. And, nobody's going to be persuaded by a 45 second announcement.
I know. This is station keeping. I get it. But those cards will be available as of.
I think they're out. I think they're doing them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll check with them, because you know I hadn't heard any, and you know I hadn't heard discussion about the only thing. What I did see was a discussion about the content and whether that was going to be changed or not.
I don't think it's going to be changed.
Yeah.
It's not going to get changed.
All right, Arthur. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate your time.
So I'll
jump to this time.
Lawrence, how much time do we have left on this item?
Because I'll, for the board members, I'll be on the closed session later. So, and I got to go eat dinner with my family.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, Arthur. Sorry.
Chair, we have 7 minutes and 50 seconds.
All right.
Okay. So we have time for about, bye. So we have time for about three more contributions. I think I heard Jim Osborne. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to direct my comment to Arthur, but I'll be happy to do it directly. There's one thing I tend to disagree with Arthur about, and that is that the station should be free to kind of pick a pro and a con on their own. And I understand that there's a potential there for abuse. I mean, just think about it. You know, any one station that takes a pro position could ask someone who's very weak, inarticulate, or unskilled to take the con, or vice versa. So I think it's something we should consider, and Arthur should consider, is just kind of a fundamental fairness issue. I think both sides know who their best advocates are. Mr. Reyes has announced his position, and I think he's eloquent and well-stated. And I think he should be, for example, a part of a debate if the con side simply puts him on a list. And then when a debate goes forward, anybody who's on that list, and that list could be as long or as short as both sides want. So it's not a matter of, let's say, necessarily excluding anybody. What it does is that it prevents having to run to the arbitrator, and it prevents putting too many issues in front of the arbitrator and costing us all time and money. So everybody, I'd like you to just kind of give some thought to that, because I think, you know, like in a courtroom where I make my living, we have an arbitrator all the time. It's called the judge, and things work out well when there's a party in between two contesting parties. So please give it some thought.
Okay, next, who wants to be on the stack?
Yeah, I raised my hand in the chat. I don't know if you saw it, but
I do. Let me just point out if anybody who hasn't spoken yet wants to be on. Anybody? Okay. You got it, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So, I've been in communication with, the National Election Supervisor, who is presently putting a committee together. And the good thing about Pacifica is that we do try to do things in a democratic manner. I think it's wrong, and not a good position to, suggest, people, I appreciate Mr. Osborne's, statement about me. I thank you very much, James. But the National Election Supervisor is putting together a committee, to work with her, from both sides, from the yes side and from the no side, that is, about to happen. So I think all the, according to the fair campaign provisions in the bylaws, this is an equal time, restriction that we're on right now where both sides have to have equal time. So I think that's probably the most important thing. And I think that's probably the most democratic process that we can undertake because these bylaws are, like I said earlier, is going to have a significant sea change, in this proposal and in its, depleting the representation, the democratic representation. To answer, Ms. Jacobs' question, yes, they're asking for yes people from, all five stations, and no people from all five stations. There will be two people, that are being requested to be on this committee to work with Renee Pinalosa. So, I represent Pacifica Fight Back, which is, part of the No campaign. And, we are, very busy and very diligent in regards to our position. And we try to put out, honest, differences, between us and the, New Day people who I am in total disagreement with. Having said that, Chair, I just wanted to, let Ron and the other folks from all the stations know that, if you have two people you could put up for the yes and for the no, for me station, we are putting those names together to submit, to Ms. Pinalosa, Renee Pinalosa, Asteria, I think, her last name is.
Just one, clarification there, Lawrence. I don't think a station is restricted to having somebody debate either a yes or a no side who belongs to that station.
It's not restricted. Yeah, you're right, Jerry.
You could possibly invite somebody from another station if you feel that they could make a better case or whatever.
That's correct, Chair. That is the stated position that anybody from the no or from the yes campaign, regardless of from what network signal they're from, is could be proposed. Thank you.
Okay.
Point of information.
Yes.
Quick.
What is it?
Lawrence, could you tell us how many people will be on this committee? Because you were saying two from each, station. That's 10 people at this juncture. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, Mr. Pinchback. That's what has been proposed to Renee. Renee originally requested one. She's open to two people from each station.
Okay. And when would you make that decision?
I just got in communication with someone from your station, the esteemed Verna A.B. Brown. And so she submitted a couple of names. You could submit some names, and we could.
I'm not interested in the names. I just wanted to make sure that the process was happening because, we need this to happen, rather quickly.
Yes, it is happening as we speak, Mr. Pinchback.
No, because we got an April 7th deadline.
Mm-hmm.
For membership, and we're going to start producing cards about that, to our listeners. So you just want to make sure that, like I say, everything is okay.
It's rolling, bro. It's rolling.
And thank you for your work.
Thank you for your work, Mr. Pinchback. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, board members, for indulging me.
I think we have time for maybe one more person. Does anybody else want to?
This is Heather.
Heather, go ahead.
I'd like to say something. It's hard for me to summarize this because I've written about this, but I need to tell you all that when I first became involved with community radio in the early 1990s, I was so incredibly impressed. And then I began to realize and study Pacifica and the whole history of Lou Hill, and I realized that what Lou Hill had intended, of course, was to develop some kind of radio communications entity that would represent the masses of the people. And that's what he did. And that's what has resulted in now with the affiliate stations, for example. There are 210 affiliated stations to Pacifica, but there are thousands of community radio stations all over the world. And it's a democratic process. The representative on stations are largely democratically elected. They're not owned and controlled by corporate entities, which is what so incredibly impressed me about Pacifica and community radio overall. And not only that, the information that is shared on community radio stations is of the people also. News and culture, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, what the New Day folks are trying to do is to completely destroy that paradigm. And I'm completely opposed to what they're trying to do. So I just needed to have my say there. I could go on forever, but I won't. I guess I've been somewhat explicit. So thank you for the opportunity to have my say.
Thank you, Chair. This is our timekeeper.
Yes.
Laura? Chair, we are at a time, maybe you might want to consider an essential.
Does anybody else want to speak? Tom, I see Tom's hand. I wanted to say a couple of things myself.
This is Lydia. I'm just letting you know I'm on the call. I've been on the call for a bit.
Okay, great. Welcome, Lydia.
I request, Chair, if I can have the floor, I make a motion that we assent for 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Okay. Do we have a second?
Tom, second.
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. So we have another 7 minutes. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that, for a family membership, my assumption is that has to be implemented before or on the 7th. Is that correct?
The whole membership thing has to be clarified no later than April 7th. That's correct. Is that it? Did you want to say anything else, Tom?
That's all I had.
Oh, okay. All right, so let me say a couple of things. I am strongly opposed to these proposed bylaws rewrites, but I don't really want to talk about the specifics of that at the moment. I wanted to say a few words about my experience with discussions I've had with some of the key people behind the amendments. I've had discussions going back a while with Beth Keane and with Jan Goodman and with Sharon Kyle. Sharon Kyle is supposed to be the new transition chair if these amendments pass, and Jan Goodman is supposed to be the vice chair, and Beth Keane is apparently the one who wrote these new bylaws and has been very active in organizing for New Day. I tried to, in my discussions with them, I tried to convince them that, whereas I did not, I did not doubt that they were well-meaning, that they were really going down the wrong direction, and what they were going to do was going to be a terrible distraction for Pacifica and would cause us to expend lots of time and resources in a campaign that we really didn't need right now. We really need to put our energy into raising money, into getting our feet back on the ground, into getting our audits done. I mean, there's so many things, and we've come a long way. We've improved quite a bit since I first returned to the board in 2017. But obviously we have a lot more to go. But I was just trying to explain to them that you could have some well thought out bylaws amendments without going through a referendum and all the aggravation that would cause. And you don't have to throw out our democratic structure, because that would be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. That I thought that what they were proposing was an elitist conception of how to run an organization that has never actually been proven to be successful, for one thing, and would be going against everything involved in Pacifica's mission and its and all the work we've done as community radio. I've always thought that we are a bastion of community radio, and uniquely we also have a potential to be a major national network at the same time. And all this is can be thrown into jeopardy by this ill-conceived project. So that's my reaction. Okay, I think we have a couple of minutes left. Anybody else?
This is James. I have a couple specific questions if nobody else who hasn't spoken wants to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm just going to rattle these off quickly, not really looking for answers at this time, but I'm interested in knowing whether any of this adding of family members or partners has occurred prior to the list being made available to the election supervisor, whether any of it has gone on after that, and how will we know that? What can we finally know about that? I also want to note that it's a double-edged sword to let the stations pick their representatives of either side. It's a well-known tactic used by Fox Network, primarily in the beginning of the cable news networks, where they picked a weak opposition for their position. And we want to, I don't know how we can guard against that under the circumstances as they've been described. And that's all for now.
Jim to the stack.
Who was that?
Jim.
Jim, you've already spoken. Is there anybody else who has not spoken?
Further, you acknowledged two other members who held the floor extensively.
Yeah, I didn't, Mr. Osborne. I did not say.
Alex. No, this you did this last meeting
too. Out of order, Mr. Osborne. You're out of order.
Alex, you're out of order. What you're ruling is unfair and out of order. Okay. You have acknowledged other people.
I'm going to have you muted if you don't stop. I did not say I was not going to call. I merely wanted to ask if anybody else who hasn't spoken yet wants to speak.
Thank you.
Does anybody else want to speak? Okay, Mr. Osborne, you may have your minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Mr. Saugerton that, and that was, I guess we're saying the same thing maybe in different words. And, Mr. Reyes could also respond to this, because after I spoke, he said something about forming a committee. And I think it's through the auspices of that committee, Mr. Reyes and Mr. Saugerton, that we could really agree on a list, and deal with this and make it a very minor issue. I don't see it as a major obstacle at all. Thank you.
Chair, do you want me to respond? There's 15 seconds left if no one
else. Go ahead.
The idea is, it's not a committee that I'm putting together. It's a committee that, the National Election Supervisor is suggesting that both sides submit names to be part of this committee. And in regards to the particulars, as you lawyers say, in regards to the particulars and in regards to what kind of processes and what kind of decisions are going to come out of that, I'm sure that's going to be open to both sides. So that's what I so it's definitely not a committee that I'm suggesting. It's a committee that she has suggested. Because that's the way the last referendum, the Pacifica Restructuring Project referendum, had they had referees. She's not calling them referees, although she's also requesting referees. So that's that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, and we are out of time on this item. So we will definitely be having further discussions about this matter in future meetings. But right now, we need to go to the IED report, and Lydia's joined us. So, Lydia, do you have a report for us?
Chair, what's the time for that, 10 minutes or 15?
10.
10. Okay, thank you.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
I think all of the fund drives are over. I'm still waiting for final numbers. Some stations did phenomenally well, and others have a ways to go. But I just want to thank everyone relative to that. We have I sent out to the staff also a notice that April 15th is the last pay period that our PPP loan forgivable loan covers, and it has been enormously helpful. This is the healthiest that I've seen the bank accounts for since I've been IED. So thank you to everyone, because we've been able to catch up on things and have central services caught up on, and I see that as extremely positive. And we're moving forward in several areas. Most of what I have to report is in closed session, but that we'll be able to report aspects of it and hopefully move on with that. We've also, and I think Anita will report in greater detail regarding the audits, but excuse me, but I had a very positive conversation with our auditor, so our progress is notable for sure, and so that was very encouraging all the way around. We've had to make some tough decisions at some of the stations, but we've also had a number of green shoots, as there were, you know, throughout the network as well. Some of the things that are tried that are new are starting to work. And as I believe I announced at the last meeting, we have a permanent general manager at KPFT. So I think that's it in terms of my open session report.
I have a question for you, Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, or is it too early to find out, if there's going to be a third installment of PPP as a result of the emergency COVID bill that was passed by Congress the other day?
There is a version of it. I had read it before you and I, in fact, spoke. And I didn't see anything that was very tailored for Pacifica. It was, it seemed to be very tailored toward some small businesses that were not, and nonprofits who were not eligible or were not able to apply for PPP before. I spoke to Tamara and I said, I want to make sure. And she got the same, she came away with the same thought when she read the entire thing. But we are in the process of consulting with the bank through which we got our PPP. Usually they notify us, like when PPP2 was as soon as it was like approved, or even before actually, they had a webinar and they contacted us, and they had someone from SBA on the phone and or on the webinar that we could interact with, and so on and so forth. So we have several pairs of eyes on this. I don't think that particular PPP helps us, but there are a number of other grants that are out there. All of them are contingent, of course, on our financials and some of these turnaround programs and recovery documents that we are preparing anyway for the audit, for example, and for others, and for CPB and all kinds of things. So I have like a boilerplate going that I can tailor to any of those entities that need it as we apply. And always for the up-to-date financials, Tamara, who's our controller through NETA, is able to send those, and I will often do the narrative, and so we're moving along. We're far more together on that front than last year when we were struggling to untangle the whole process with PPP one and the EIDL loan and so forth. So there is quite a bit of progress. We had, we listed the bequested house in Houston, which appears to have sold. And, so we, yeah, and we have some other bequests that are pending out of WBAI. And so we're looking forward to the rest of this year as we emerge from the pandemic as well, because that has a lot to do with how we are able to function, whether it's our phone rooms having to pay far more for some of the answering services during our fund drives. And as we emerge from the pandemic, we can look forward to some of the activities that we were unable to before. We have been absent being able to raise money around live events like every nonprofit and so forth. So we welcomed the relief from PPP and are looking forward to an even better second, third, and fourth quarter.
Chris Corey to the stack.
Chris, go ahead.
Okay. My primary question is...
Lawrence to the stack.
I've been viewing the PPP funding, this is, of course, addressed to Lydia, as sort of a stopgap measure to get us from where we are to where we want to be. I guess my basic question is how are the revenues starting to come in line with the expenses for the organization? In other words, do you foresee that when the PPP funding runs out, whether we're going to continue the bleed and need more funding still, or where will the organization be relatively stable at that juncture? I'm just asking you to answer that question generally, because of course this is speculative, but
right.
What do you believe to be the case?
What I believe to be the case is that we're going to be in a much, much stronger position than we have been for the past couple of years. It really has helped, and it has helped, like I said, catch up with central services for the national office, certainly, and that means our general expenses. But it also has enabled everybody to look microscopically at expenses. There were, you know, some services we weren't using anymore that hadn't been terminated. You know, there's all kinds of things that have gone into a better financial situation. We're not out of it. I would welcome another wave of PPP, and I think that would really put us in a strong position. We have always strived to have a couple of months of reserves at each station. Obviously, we're not there, but ideally that's what we would strive for. But at least to be in balance at all of our stations is something that we're going to come very close to. I mean, the fact that we are looking at audit timetables that can get us caught up to CPB, the fact that I can place a call to CPB to see what else will be required as we move forward. All of those things are elements that I was unable to employ and to follow up on a year ago. So it's helped tremendously. I don't know if that helps with your question, but...
Oh, yeah, that answers it. Thank you.
Okay. Lawrence to the stack chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So there's quite a few things. In regards to some of the services that we use during the pandemic, we're using an answering service to take a lot of our pledges because of obviously the COVID pandemic. And from what I understand, I know previously if we take in a $25 pledge and the service charges us $1.99 per minute, that's actually a $23 pledge. And if it goes on any longer, then the pledge diminishes. Do you have any numbers on that? And then, also, I think, it's high time that the audit committee, the PNB audit committee and the elections committee, convene. I know that's something off topic, but I think that's something that we need to get going as soon as possible. So do you have any, anything at your fingertips, in regards to the answering service and how that diminishes, our income?
No, because, every station has a different answering service from what I know. We don't have one single Pacifica answering service. I know at your station at KPFK, they've changed, more than a couple of times. And so no, I have no information on that at all. I mean, not at all. Obviously, we have the financials that reflect some of that information, but not by contract or vendor.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Then the next item on the agenda is the ICFO report from Anita Sims. Anita, are you here?
Can you give me a time, Chair?
10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I
don't know if she's here. Okay. Well, we'll did we establish if she was present at the beginning of the meeting? I can't remember.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Chris?
Yeah, we didn't call her name initially. And I know that I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I will say that she's been extremely busy with the audits, and that's been her primary focus recently. I doubt she would have many updates other than with that. I'd be curious to hear where that's falling at this juncture. But other than that, I wouldn't expect anything from her right now.
Okay.
And this is Lydia. I just want to make one other request, if I may.
Yeah.
So this is following up on what Lauren said. It's urgent that the audit committee meet right away. They have to review the audit. Where our goal is to have the audit completed by April 30th, before actually. So all of the approvals, those of us that were on the board last year, you will remember, the audit committee approves it, then it comes to the board. I have to present a recovery plan, which I certainly hope to do by our next meeting, to approve the recovery plan, and so all of those elements have got to be done before, but they must be reviewed by the audit committee.
Chair, this is Lawrence. May I have the floor real quick?
Go ahead, Lawrence.
So I'm definitely willing to convene the audit committee. I am on the audit committee. If that's okay with you, Chair, and the board, I will definitely look to convene that ASAP.
Please, please do so.
Okay, I will do so. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, well then we'll go on to the next item, and we come to committee reports. And I know some of the committees haven't met since the last time we had committee reports. So the ones that I'm aware of that may have met are the Finance Committee, the Governance Committee, and I was just told the Audit Committee hasn't met, so forget that. Maybe the Programming Committee has met, I don't know, and there are a couple of other committees or task forces that may have met. So let's start with the report from the Finance Committee.
Oh, well, Chair, I was just about to ask to be recognized, so we'll go with this. I just spoke to Anita Sims, and she is going to be calling in momentarily. She does have guests at her home at the moment, but she's going to call in nonetheless and hopefully give us a brief report. And as far as the Finance Committee report, I'll just say a couple of things. I will say that this meeting tonight was listed as a special meeting, and I wasn't really expecting to make a report, but I will say a few things very briefly. One is that the P&Ls, the PPP money is helping us in all the regards that Lydia just mentioned, but it's also actually covering ongoing deficits. So, you know, we're still having losses, and so the PPP is not really the solution to our problem. It's a temporary hold on our problems, and hopefully, you know, we'll take some steps, including making whatever adjustments we may need to make at stations in terms of reducing expenses while we have the money to be able to afford to do that. So we don't get back into a situation where we can't afford to pay our employees, but we can't afford to pay their severance either. And I wanted to also report at a couple of meetings ago, questions were raised about the language of the Central Services formula, the motion that came out of the National Finance Committee. Questions were raised about the language on that, and I went back and listened to the tapes. It was mentioned that on the 12th of February, we had a meeting that the different language came out and was presented at the PMB meeting. That turns out not to be correct. The meeting on the 12th, we did not get final language. In fact, we held a special meeting on the 19th, and that's where the language came out of, and the language was exactly as I read it, with two exceptions. One is there were two uses of the word shall in the motion, and I said should one time in reading rather than shall, and I added the extra article, the word a, which was just a stumble in the reading. And I will report further on that in the future. I wasn't really prepared to do that tonight again because I didn't think we were going to have committee reports. And that's all I have for the moment.
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Yeah, so I would ask that the Finance Committee take up the issue of dividing up the costs for the elections and the referendum. I know that the formula for that kind of bill back has varied throughout the years. So if you can please take that up so that I have some, have some guidance on that. Some of it has been kind of lopsided. Some of the, costs, for example, of balloting varies from station to station. So for everyone to bear the cost of, let's say, the paper ballots or because of a smaller number of membership and so on and so forth, it has not been very equitable, apparently. So if you can take that up, it would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm ready to report for the Governance Committee, Chair.
Okay. Governance Committee, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, and it's not even going to take that long. The bylaws subcommittee that was supposed to meet tonight and ran into glitches and was not able to convene tonight is going to reschedule that bylaws subcommittee meeting. The next governance committee meeting, we have not met for this new term. The next governance committee meeting is going to meet on March 24th, which is Wednesday, next Wednesday, March 24th, at 8:30 Eastern Time. So that's the extent of the governance committee report. We do have some new blood and some fresh faces and some not so fresh faces that are going to move the committee forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, do we have a report from the programming committee? Okay, guess not.